We talk health after we do our finance clinic. This is an interesting one because I'm going to talk to a brain surgeon. I had a conversation with him earlier tonight. They're from the Sydney Adventist Hospital, one of the great professionals there, Dr. Jun Kim. He's actually a brain surgeon, a neurosurgeon. We're going to talk about brain aneurysms, and I'm thinking if someone asked me, well, what's an aneurysm, that something flows or something stops or something bursts, that would be the way I'd try and describe it. But we're going to look in detail with them now. This is Dr. Jun Kim from Sydney Adventist Hospital on brain aneurysms.
Good evening, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Before I ask you just about neurosurgery and the brain, just can you answer that question for me then? A brain aneurysm, how do you describe it?
Sure. John, a brain aneurysm is basically a little outpouching in the blood vessel wall inside the brain. And to understand this a little bit further, I'll simplify this, we have to understand the difference between arteries and veins. So the heart pumps blood out. It's super high pressure, which comes to the brain. And that's the kind of, you know, blood that can squirt out, okay, under a lot of pressure. So the blood vessels, the piping that carries this blood away from the heart is quite thick and rubbery. And it's got to be strong because it's under high pressure. Sometimes there's a weakening in the wall, and it can balloon out. And what it looks like when you look at it, John, is if you imagine a balloon that you attach to a garden hose, for example, and you turn it on and it fills with water and the rubber gets thinner and thinner and you can see the water swooshing around in there, that's what an aneurysm looks like. And the problem is that wall is quite thin and abnormal. That can burst inside your brain and can give you a bleed inside the brain called the subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Right. So the aneurysm is the balloon.
That's
then
right.
The bursting of the balloon is what you've just described.
It's a type of bleed inside the brain.
And a stroke, is that something different?
The typical thing what people think of when you say stroke is basically imagine the same piping that I was describing, John, taking blood and basically oxygen to various parts of the brain. If that gets blocked because of a cholesterol plaque or a blood clot that's come from the heart, then the part of the brain that needs that blood and that oxygen can die off. And that's what people typically think of as a stroke. So when people get a stroke, you might get a droopy face. You might have trouble speaking. You might have weakness down one side of the body. Whereas if you have a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is the rupturing of that balloon, there's a sudden huge global pressure inside the brain, so people can sort of, you know, pass out and collapse.
Right. Let's just jump back to the aneurysm then. So we've got the beautiful analogy there of the hose and the balloon. So that's happening inside your head, in your brain. So can you have an aneurysm and just be functioning normally, or does when that happen it has an effect on you?
So aneurysms are a lot more common than we think. About 1 or 3% of the general population will have an aneurysm and not know it. And in fact, there will be a large number of people who will have an aneurysm, not have a problem, and just live their lives normally. Okay. Unfortunately, a small percentage of these patients, the aneurysm will rupture. And if that ruptures, you typically get the worst headache of your life. And people describe it as having a thunderclap headache, being hit by lightning, worst headache imaginable, or people can collapse into unconsciousness.
Because you can die of a brain aneurysm, can't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. And John, it's a scary thing because when an aneurysm ruptures, about a quarter of people die and another quarter of people are severely neurologically damaged and maybe vegetative and disabled. And about 50% of people are okay.
Yeah. So with the aneurysm, as it starts, like it can be there, any of us could have this, you could have it potentially inside your head, this little ballooning thing. Does it get worse or does it just stay there? How does it manifest and how does it progress?
Yeah. So John, we still don't really know precisely the cause of why these aneurysms form. We know that for most people, John, when people say, why have I got this and how did this come about? It's just simply bad luck. Remember, think of that pipe that I spoke to you about.
Yeah.
There's got to be a weakness in the wall, okay? And that can be caused by some sort of inflammation, atherosclerosis, which is the same reason why people can have blockages in their heart. So we know that people who smoke, that can harm blood vessels. And sometimes people can have congenital collagen disorders, which is the stuff that forms the wall of the piping, and that can lead to aneurysms forming. And also people who can have high blood pressure can also form them as well.
Yeah. So if you've got a headache, or is a headache, you're getting lots of headaches, can you then scan for one of these and find it there?
Yeah. So the vast majority of aneurysms are asymptomatic. And I want to reassure the listeners out there that if you've got a headache, the chances that you've got an aneurysm are pretty low. Headache is one of the most common presentations to a GP. Yeah. Yep. Most aneurysms are completely clinically silent, and they often are found because people are investigated for migraines and headaches and other unusual symptoms, and often the aneurysm is completely unrelated to their symptoms.
So if it's getting worse and becoming critical, it could well be you just don't know and there's nothing, there's no symptom, there's nothing there.
Unfortunately, there are, you know, when people present with a bleed inside their brain, it's almost certain that they didn't know about it, and it's the first presentation.
Okay, all right. So then what do you do to treat it? How do you do it? Can you fix it? Can you repair it?
Yeah, so let's say somebody who's listening, let's say, or you or I, are found with a brain aneurysm and it's unrelated. The first thing that we have to do is decide, is this one that we can safely watch, or is this something that we need to treat? And that's really important to delineate. And the important factor here is, what is the natural history? Meaning, if we left this aneurysm alone, what is the chance that in your lifetime, this aneurysm is likely to burst and cause you a problem? To understand this natural history, we sort of look at aneurysm factors. So that means, how big is it? Where is it? What does it look like? And we know that there are some factors which make it more likely to rupture and other factors that make it much safer. Then we look at other maybe patient-related factors. How old are you? Are you a smoker? Do you have a family history of aneurysms? Have you had a prior hemorrhage? Do you have high blood pressure? And I'll give you an example, the exact same aneurysm in a 23-year-old versus somebody who might be 80. Well, the 23-year-old has a much higher cumulative risk over time for that same aneurysm in their lifetime versus somebody who might be aged 80, for example. Yep. So the same aneurysm, we may do different things. Now, once we've worked out the natural history, then we can say, well, to treat this thing, what is the risk? And then you weigh up both factors and we say, is it worth taking on risk right now, an upfront risk, or is it better just to take a very low cumulative risk over time? If we do decide to treat this aneurysm, then the two treatment options really are doing open surgery, which means an incision in the scalp, lifting up of the bone, working between different parts of the brain, and fixing the aneurysm with what we call a little titanium clip around the neck to kind of pinch it off. So that is the analogy would be working from outside the balloon.
Yes.
Then the other option is to do it in what we call an endovascular way, which is through a groin or an arm puncture into the artery or the vessel, and working from inside the pipe to fix the aneurysm. And the way
inside
that
all the way up to the brain, is that right? What are you talking
inside
about?
All the way up to the brain. So we might put a little needle inside a groin puncture into an artery in the leg, and then we pass a tube all the way up to the brain, and then we use various different catheters, little access devices, and you could treat the aneurysm by packing it from the inside with little detachable coils, or we may even lay a stent.
Wow. Okay. Look, it is remarkable what you can do. But just if I could just finish up, it's been a really good exposition of all of this for us tonight. But we still don't know so much about the brain. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you've been doing this with neurosurgery for a long time. So, in the time you've been doing it, I guess you've learnt, and we've learnt so much more.
Oh, absolutely. The way that we treat brain tumours, brain aneurysms. Has really just progressed in leaps and bounds.
But if someone's saying, all right, well, I'm worried now because I've got relatives who had this, can you go and get a scan and see whether you've got one?
Yep, absolutely. So I would recommend screening. If you have two first-degree relatives who have had brain aneurysms, I would recommend you get an MRI scan for screening.
Okay, all right. Very interesting, as always. And I'm hoping in the years ahead we might have more chats once learned so much more about the brain, because it is fascinating. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me, John. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and of course, we speak with people from the Sydney Adventist Hospital, including Dr. Jun Kim, and Sydney Adventist Hospital harnessing the latest advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect, and care that you deserve. And I thought that was most interesting.